Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, in today's digital-first economy, South Africa's fintech revolution is rapidly reshaping how we manage our money. And digital wallets are no longer just simple payment tools. They're becoming powerful, purpose-driven financial management solutions. So I want to explore this in a little more detail tonight. Jonathan Holden is with me, Chief Operating Officer at Solmate, to explore the evolution of digital wallets and what we can expect next year, as I imagine adoption is going to accelerate as technology advances. So Jonathan, good evening to you and welcome. So how have digital wallets evolved in South Africa, and what do you think is going to make next year a pivotal year in terms of their growth?
Evening, Jeremy. South Africa has often tried to emulate technologies around the globe, and even around Africa, there's been some success stories. And these technologies and innovations are gaining traction. And a lot of that traction comes from trust. I think people are starting to believe in the security of these devices or digital platforms to securely hold their money. And as that trust grows, they become commonplace. So I think we'll see more of that in 2025 as we have done this year. So, you know, there's a drive from the regulators to sort of take cash out of our economy. It's unsafe for obvious reasons. And the more people can actually transact digitally, those costs can come down. So there's a sort of two-pronged attack on making our economic environment more slick.
What do you think has led to that growth in trust? Has the technology simply become better and more secure?
On the one hand, yes, I would agree with that. On the other, I think it's simply word of mouth. Some people use it, experience it, and tell their friends or show their friends how it works. So, you know, our communities in many instances are very much in interpersonal relationships. So people, you know, some people don't even trust major banks these days. I've interviewed people on the streets myself, and there's still a mistrust. So it's really experiential. Once people use it and find that, you know, it doesn't steal their money like they've heard, then they begin to use it more. So I think that's really what we see a lot of in our space, is people wanting to try it out. We see people trying very small transactions initially, until they've gained that trust, and then they start depositing their bigger salaries and using the money sparingly over a month.
And interesting to note that the take-up trajectory, particularly among the unbanked and informal sector, is growing exponentially.
It is, and I think for the reasons I've perhaps mentioned around security of cash, people get robbed or scammed, or that it results in disagreements with their employers around, you know, you didn't pay me, yes I did, and then there's no proof of that. So I think apart from keeping money safe, digital financial solutions provide a lot of other benefits, like a track record of your transactions. Some even go as far as providing, you know, rudimentary budgeting tools to help people track where they're spending their money. And this is all forms part of what's referred to as financial inclusion. So it's financial literacy, getting people to understand how money works and how to better use it.
And it's the sophistication of the tool itself which is becoming interesting. We have something called the rise of compartmentalized wallets. How does that work?
So that's an interesting one. I've often tried to get use cases from our customer base or potential customers on, you know, why would they want to use my wallet as opposed to another one? And, you know, the feedback we often get is that, you know, when, think of stock files. People want their stock file money kept separately so they can see where it is and they're saving for a rainy day. Other people like to budget separately for transport or groceries. And it's quite an unusual way of thinking, but does help people to manage their money better if they can see it in specific pockets or pots, as I call them, and they can know that they've got that covered for the month because there's still adequate balance. So people don't like to have all their funds commingled, and they tend to lose track of it. But when it is nicely separated, they find it easier to manage.
How difficult these days is the onboarding process?
It's become a lot easier, obviously, again, for digital reasons. So I think the proliferation of smartphones is pretty wide. So a good number of people, even in lower income brackets, have access to basic smartphones, which can take photos. So uploading of documents and selfie photos is quite easy. On the other hand, we need the regulators to also facilitate this ease of onboarding. And often, you know, while it's easy on the one hand, regulations make it tougher and there are more requirements for more documents that people simply don't have. So I think there needs to be a meeting of minds if the conversation around financial inclusion is to really become a reality a lot sooner.
Jonathan, you're posting suggesting a very rosy picture as far as this concept is concerned. But in your opinion, and I mean you're very close to this, where does the risk potentially still exist here in terms of consumer take up?
The risk, of course, is there's always people looking for a hole or an opportunity. I think from a money laundering point of view, which is often a risk that the regulators are wary of, I think it's very minimal, given that a lot of these digital wallets have very low limits and daily transaction limits. So the risk is very small, but of course the speed of payments and the speed of which people can move money around does create a risk whereby if there is a scam of some sort, the individuals can, you know, move the money very quickly through various channels and, you know, perpetuate the fraud. So that really is something we need to be mindful of. But there are other tracking tools that overlay our systems so that we can pick that up.
And just a final question then, beyond next year, how do you see the digital wallet landscape transforming South Africa's economy? It would have a broader role to play, I would imagine, in the way in which we're doing business.
I've heard some good rumours from the regulatory point of view that, you know, there are efforts to look at lighter requirements and different types of licences to aid financial inclusion and to get people entering into the financial system through, you know, more basic ways than your traditional bank accounts and investment accounts and what have you. So there's a lot of good talk going on. If you look at other markets that South Africa tends to follow, like perhaps in less developed countries in Asia, perhaps South America, those signs are already there. So we're very hopeful that in South Africa, but Africa in general, I think these types of tools are going to become more and more commonplace. And I think even some of the big banks may see them as an opportunity to, you know, segment their customer base with different types of technology.
Appreciate your time tonight. That's Jonathan Holden, Chief Operating Officer at Soulmate.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.